Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the
duo
of feathery brethren, weather in any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, both and Zach kicking it cooler than
two.
Penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Both Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping.
We are going to rip out the hearts of other podcasts. We are going to bite off their eyeballs. We are going to start every segment watching the scene from The Last of the Mohicans where the guy takes a bite out of the other guy's heart. We may not be good, but we're going to be nasty. We're going to reflect the blue-collar nature of this city.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends, a post-game edition. Bo Wolf, Marissa Dunn here after the Eagles take down the Houston Texans 29-17 in Houston. And Marissa, neither of us were there.
Yes, so Zach will be joining us in probably like 3 seconds. We just got a text that he's in the elevator. He's panicking that we said 2:30 a.m. for those listening. And he was not home yet, or not back to the hotel. So Zach will be on the scene with the breaking news.
He told us to start. Like we were willing to wait. He wanted us to start.
Yes, he insisted we started, so we figured, why not?
He cares more about punctuality than being there himself. That's the kind of selfless guy that he is.
Yes, and we've gotten live updates on his whole trip back to the hotel, so he should be on here any second now.
And yes, as you said, it is 2:37 in the morning after an unprecedented night in Philadelphia sports, Marissa.
Yeah.
Bit of a disappointing performance, a listless performance to some degree for the Eagles, but you know, I wasn't there. I'm splitting screens here. So we'll see what Zach tells us, whether he's got any defense of the run defense in this game for the Eagles as Dameon Pierce runs wild for 27 carries for 139 yards, breaking tackles.
Leading rusher in the game.
Why don't we just do Swooper now?
True. No, but Zach might like want to hear it. Actually, he probably won't. Let's do it now.
I think it'll be good if he comes in the middle of Swooper. Let's just get right to it.
Show with what everyone wants to hear. Yeah, I like it. Well, I don't like it because I know what it's going to lead to. But of course,
you did a very good. I mean, your hit rate here was very impressive, Marissa.
My hit rate was good.
You had only had three items. Mm-hmm. You had Jalen Hurts sets a career high in either passing yards or rushing yards. Didn't happen.
No, unfortunately.
But you did have the Eagles score more touchdowns than the Astros score runs. Check. You got that. And you got the Texans will win or tie at least one quarter of play.
Yeah, that happened right away. It's great.
Fantastic. Good for you.
Yeah, Michael asked, do I get points for every quarter if that happens? And I was like, I wish.
That's an interesting thing to keep in mind for future Swoopers, that could be multiplied.
I did think the same thing. I didn't know if that was cheating. I was going to say maybe I'll have to check in with Dayniz, but yes, I did think of that as well.
That's interesting. Okay, Zach, who played it so well and maintained so many leftover
and
turkeys.
He's here just in time.
Hello, good evening.
Out of breath.
Good morning.
Hello, Zach. Yes.
Great to see you guys.
Zach, we're starting with the most important news of the day. We're going over Swooper. start the show.
That's really how you started the show?
Well, we wanted to do something that didn't require you being here because you're the only one who watched the game.
Quite the game. Eagles are 8-0, but
that's
you're
correct.
The host. I will cede the floor to you.
All right. Well, Zach, you had Miles Sanders had the most rushing yards in the game. Didn't happen. Gardner Minshew takes a snap. Thought this was going to be a good one for only 4 turkeys. Didn't happen. Both teams lose a challenge. Didn't happen.
There was a lot of challenges, but they all won them.
That's right. The Eagles' longest play is longer than the Texans' longest made field goal. You did get that.
That was so close.
Was it?
31, I believe, and 30.
Wow.
I was so upset when Elliot came out and it was 30. I'm like, are you kidding me? Anyway, continue.
That's funny. And then the sum of the jersey numbers of Eagles players who score touchdowns plus Phillies players who score runs is greater than the sum of the jerseys of the Texans players who score touchdowns and Astros players who score runs. Haven't added this up yet. So the good news is it doesn't matter because your boy, what a night. The number of Damian Pierce carries is larger than Jalen Hurts' longest run of the game. 27 carries for Damian Pierce, 14 yards the long for Jalen Hurts. The first half of the Eagles game ends before the top of the fifth inning of the Phillies game. Did hit. Sorry about your 10 turkeys wasted on nothing, Marissa.
Yeah.
And I also had the last play of the game is a kneel down. So 3 for me, that's a W.
And by the way, that 4th and 1 also was pretty upset about that. Obviously,
oh, yeah, they don't get that. Oh,
yes. So wow. It's 4th and 1, and I'm balance. Like, come on, defense, stand tall here.
That's very good.
Unfortunately, they did not. But
all right, Zach, you're here. You've presumably run all the way to your hotel from NRG Stadium. Because we know you love running out of a stadium to get to a podcast. How did it go? Eagles are 8-0. What are your big takeaways?
Well, big win for the Eagles, right? Every win's a big win. And a few takeaways here. Number one, the manner in which they played. It was a different style of game than it was last week. Last week, you saw them really bolstered by the big plays, the explosive plays, right? The first scoring drive tonight for the Eagles, 18 plays. Second one, 10 plays. They did another one, 10 plays. It was a different style of game. And Jalen Hurts compared it to when you go to a fancy restaurant, whether it's a steakhouse or seafood dish, seafood restaurant, and they sometimes have like the catch of the day or they have the chef special. And his point was they can play different ways. So that jumped out to me. Another thing that jumped out to me is the turnovers, right? The takeaways, rather. Plus one. I think they're plus 15 on the year. I don't have it in front of me, but continue making plays there. Javon Hargrave, 3 sacks. Whatever happened during the bye, and I did talk to him about this. Here he is. He's up to he has 5 sacks the past 2 games, 6 on the season. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Where'd he grow up?
In Salisbury, North Carolina. You can read all about that on The Athletic. There were negatives in this game too, right? This was the first game of the season in which they did not lead at halftime. It was tied at halftime, 14-14. The run defense has some work to do. We can get to all that. But my big takeaway is they're 8-0 right now. First time in franchise history that they're 8-0. T.O. and Donovan McNabb didn't do this. Reggie White never did this. Brian Dawkins never did this. Harold Carmichael never did this. Chuck Benarek never did this. I can go on. Now, being 8-0 within itself is not this. It's not the end-all, be-all. I think in the last 30 years, 21 teams have started. Let me get the exact number here. I had this in a story that will soon go up on The Athletic. Yes, 21 teams in the last 30 years have started 8-0.
How many of them went on to go to the Super Bowl? You got that?
I don't have that. It's a good question, and I should look that up, but I was trying to accelerate my writing to get here for the podcast.
No, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just
curious. No. I am curious as well. But it's also one of those things, too, where, A, they have a target on their back, and, B, like we've discussed, this is a relatively soft schedule. And so this could soon get to double digits. And when they get to double digits, that's when those conversations start occurring. I mean, As AJ Brown said tonight, he said, we're not caught up in trying to go perfect. That's not even the conversation right now. But it is something to at least, you know, keep your eye on that conversation when that does start. So anyways, that's just me kind of emptying my brain. There's a lot more there.
You'd rather be waking up in a half an hour than still be awake.
Yeah, I mean, not in a half an hour. I don't get up at it's 1:45 here. I don't get up at 2:15, but I will be up in about 3.5 hours. Yes.
Yeah, you got that big money radio hit you got to get to.
I like to connect with our audience and new and customers and fans any way I can.
There have been 21 teams who started 8-0 since 1990, Zach. Five of them won the Super Bowl. Five of them lost in the Super Bowl. Three of them lost in the championship game. And then the rest of them all lost earlier in the playoffs. So there you go.
So 10 made the Super Bowl.
10 of the 21 made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so you have a 50% chance almost. 45% chance of making the Super Bowl. Mm.
I'm surprised you're so gung-ho and happy about this win. This is a pretty...
Well, I'm not happy, but I'm telling you, I'm just emptying my brain of some thoughts about this win. But certainly, I don't think that...
I thought, I would say that the thumbs up, thumbs down for this performance, you...
So I don't know. I was actually thinking that you were going to be ripping on them after this. It did strike me that you would find, whether it's the run defense or something in particular that harp on. And the thing is this, they
were playing a JV team and they let Dameon Pierce run all over them.
Okay.
You're going to defend that run defense, their defense in this game?
I'm not defending the...
They lost the spread, so they didn't perform as well as they should have.
I'm not defending the run defense. I just don't think that when you play on a Thursday night, halfway across the country, you win by 12 points. It's not gloomy. It's not like a really bad outcome, right? There's things they can learn from this, but this wasn't a bad game. Now, I should give some color.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you proceed.
No, let's talk about the run defense, because I feel like that is the number one takeaway from this game. Like, Jalen Hurts was very good. We can get to that. But I really don't you think that the number one takeaway from this game is they have to figure out what they're going to do on defense without Jordan Davis? And how bad did it look in person?
Yeah, that's a big takeaway. And it looked bad in person, right? And it looked bad in part too, because you knew what they were going to do, right? It's not as if this was week one and the first time you're seeing Dameon Pierce. It's not as if they are loaded at wide receiver, but they saw something in the running game and they thought they could run on them. If you just looked at the Texans depth chart going into this game, you said they're going to run the ball. The Eagles knew they were going to run the ball, and they ran the ball. And credit to Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philly. He asked Nick Sirianni about the run defense on, what was it, Wednesday? Yeah, yes. All these days are blurring together.
Yeah, three-person press conference you guys had.
And so they entered the game allowing, I think, 5.1 yards per carry. They allowed 5.3 yards per carry tonight. Yeah, that's not great.
What did the Eagles do without Jordan Davis? It looked like they played more four-man fronts, but when they did play the three-man odd fronts, it was a lot of Marvin Wilson at the nose.
Yes, but that seemed to change in the second half. They started to have Hargrave more in there in the second half. But there were more four-man fronts. I mean, Houston was committed to running the ball. I agree. That's problematic the way they ran. I'm not trying to put a warm spin on this game. I'm just saying that there are teams in this league who, if they had someone get three sacks, they had someone take the league lead in interceptions, they had someone catch eight passes for 100 yards and a touchdown, those would be high watermarks for the season. And
there are teams who have Yeah, but this is a team that the stakes are higher for this team. The bar is higher. This is not the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, by the way, like look at what the Texans have done in their recent games. This is a much better offensive performance for them.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Look, the run defense was not good today. I agree with you there. My biggest takeaway from this game, and if you're thinking big picture and you're trying to say, yeah, they don't have Jordan Davis right now, and three of their next five games include Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, and Saquon Barkley, right? That's a concern. Agreed. I'm just not like up in arms like, oh goodness, they won by 12 points, but this run defense, right? I mean, it's hard to win games in the NFL. And they do it each week, and they won by double-digit points. They scored four touchdowns on offense, right? They had two takeaways on defense. I don't know.
Funny, Zach. You're the way that you analyze the undefeated football team is so much different than the way you analyze your own performance on things. Like, you're never happy with your own performance. You're always looking to nitpick. But when it's a football team, it's as long as they got the job, as long as they finish the story and hit the deadline, it's fine.
Well, that's not a win for me. Finishing the story and hitting the deadline is not a win for me. I've racked up too many L's here to decide.
What you need to flip those. You need to flip those two things. You need to be kinder to yourself, and you need to be rougher on the team that you cover.
From the team that I cover. I figured this was going to be your takeaway. In part because like of who their defensive coordinator is, and
that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the team they were playing.
Yeah. Like
would you agree that this was their worst game of the season?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. So they played we can say that it says a lot about the quality of the team that they played their worst game of the season and they still won easily by 12 points. That's fine. That's true. I agree with that. But we already knew they were very good. They're undefeated for a reason. They're one of the two or three best teams in football. But when they have their worst game of the season, we're allowed to complain about the fact that they had they just played their worst game of the season.
Okay, sure. Now, the worst first half of the season. The second half was a good half. And I think when we go back and watch the film, there will be things that jump out from that second half. The first half, that was a bad half. The run defense was problematic. They really didn't know what they were doing. They couldn't get off the field on some of those third downs. They had these like sloggy drives that ended in points, but you know, when you have an 18 play drive by nature, it's not going to be like these big positive chunks every play. And then they come out to start the second half and Jordan Mailata allows two sacks on the first three plays.
Tough night for him, huh?
And so at that point you're like, you know, they're sleepwalking through this Thursday night game. But then, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets the interception. They have a short field. James Bradbury gets the interception. Oh, they also had their first lost fumble of the season. I don't know.
Steven Nelson, huh?
What a game for Steven Nelson. What
do you mean? Didn't he force that fumble?
It was a bad. It was like a mistimed snap. It seemed like to me. I'll have to go back and watch.
He got the sack, I think, right?
Yeah, but like Jalen Warren.
He also made that tackle early in the game on Devontae Smith, and I've never seen him so excited.
Yeah. I'm not trying to put like I had this like 15 minute car ride back where I was like, thinking about it.
Stupid Bo is gonna be all angry.
No, not that at all. I was trying. Because my takeaways were similar to what you said. And then I took a step back and I'm like, they just won a game by 12 points. They're 8-0. What kind of note am I striking if I'm like, oh God, the sky is falling. They just won by 12 points, you know?
You don't have to say the sky is falling, but I mean, I think the run defense is a real concern.
Yeah.
It's been the worst part of their team of the four phases by a long shot.
Sure.
All season long. And they lost their best, or not, maybe not their best, but like the guy who seemed to be the fulcrum of what made their run defense successful when it was. I mean, they entered this game, what, 24th in run defense DVOA, right? And so they knew that this was, and as you said, they knew the game plan for the Texans was going to be a lot of Damian Pierce. They were starting Philip Dorsett and some guy I never heard of on the outside. And still, they got the ball run over them. Like, that's not great.
I agree. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying it's not the only thing that occurred tonight.
Okay. I think we're allowed to, like, you know, this, the team is 8-0. The stakes are high. We gotta poke the holes, and when there's a pretty big hole right now.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's it.
I might view it differently if Jordan Davis was out for the season. Because I was thinking about that. And this is going to be, look, if he, let's say the first game he returns is Christmas Eve against Dallas, okay? Then what you're talking about here is a stretch of games where teams know they're going to run on you. There are teams that can run on you. I would even throw Green Bay in there, right? Green Bay can run with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. You have the Giants, is it twice during that period? Or no, they end the season against the Giants. Yeah. So once, yeah. So I wouldn't be so much worried about what Washington would do, but there are games in there. Those four games, if Jordan Davis isn't there, that's really concerning. And that's probably a big part of our Thursday pod those weeks is how are they going to stop Jonathan Taylor? How are they going to stop Derrick Henry? How are they going to stop Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon? How are they going to stop Saquon Barkley? I agree with you there. I just think if you're really talking, if like your concern is this is they're a Super Bowl team, they're a Super Bowl contender, and this is their Achilles heel, I would say Jordan Davis is going to be back for the postseason. And look,
is he going to be himself?
Is he going to be himself? That's a fair question. But I tweeted during the game there, splits with Jordan Davis on the field, Jordan Davis off the field. And I understand it could be a misleading stat because you're in odd man fronts when Jordan Davis is there. So you should be better at run defense.
It's when they're trying to stop the run versus when they're not trying to stop the run.
Yes. But when they are trying to stop the run, they're keeping opponents under 4 yards per carry. Now there are teams know they can run on this four man front and they can't really play the odd man fronts well without Davis. I get all that. I just think if you want to have that conversation about this being the Achilles heel of a Super Bowl contender, I would say when they're playing the types of games that the Phillies were in tonight, well, let's say the Phillies were in a few weeks ago, the playoff games, I'm not talking Super Bowl yet, they'll have Jordan Davis back on the field.
Okay. All right. Why don't we take a little break? We'll come back. We'll calm down. We'll be a little more Pollyanna-ish. We'll talk about the wonderful night that Jalen Hurts had. I thought he looked very good.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right. Back on Birds with Friends, Bo, Zach, and Marissa. Some chatter in the chat saying, why isn't Bo in Houston? I thought we addressed this at the top of the show. I thought it would be fun to, I thought it would be a good story to watch both games at the same time. There's somebody in the chat who said he saw me at the bar covering the game. And he didn't say hi. What are we doing? Say hi. All right.
Where did you go?
Went to New Wave Cafe.
Nice.
Been like 150 people there. Most people watching the Phillies. Yeah. Weird, crazy night. Weird for the Eagles to be like relegated to second screen status. I don't know. Zach had to deal with me weirdly deciding to do this while I was already in Houston.
But went to Houston and came back to cover both games here.
Did it make sense? No. But felt like the better story, and I'm not sure that that was the right decision. But here we are. Zach, you look like you're in a closet.
I'm not in a closet. I'm in a corner of a hotel room.
Why in the corner?
Because you would not like this hotel room. There's no desk. Yeah, there's a little table and a chair, but there's not a desk. But to add some color and comparable to what you were saying, in the post-game locker room, it was similar to New Wave Cafe, right? There were a bunch of play. It was an interesting scene. You had players, coaches, staffers, reporters, like all.
Yeah, tell me about this. In.
So there was a TV above the defensive backs lockers, right? So Slay and Bradberry and Gunnar Johnson, that corner of the visitors' locker room. And the game was on, and they're all huddled around watching the game. And it was interesting to see, like, there are reporters who are in there, in a typical post-game locker room, you're going from locker to locker, talking to everyone you can. And they're just like, we're in the, like, at this point, it's the bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth, bottom of the ninth. So, and they're all clued in. Like, Jason Kelsey, he wasn't, like, changing. He wasn't changing until the end of the game, it seemed like. There were other players who were, they had showered and changed, but they weren't leaving the locker room. Usually they're quick out of the locker room, especially on the road, to get to the bus. They're watching these final outs. I mean, Shane Steichen comes in,
pulls. Yeah, who is the most into it?
So there's into it like in a demonstrative way, and there's into it in like a really focused way.
Right, like, and actually watching versus performatively watching. Yeah.
And I would say Zach McPherson was the one who was into it in like the most, in the way like a baseball purist can appreciate.
Yeah, because he's a baseball player. Yeah.
Yeah. His brother was a minor leaguer. He was a good baseball player. I think if you ask him, he would probably think he's the best baseball player on the team.
He said that. And yes.
I didn't know if we were on the record, so that's why I framed it that way.
I think a boast is on the record, yeah.
And
I mean, tough him. I mean, AJ Brown, like, you know,
AJ Brown was watching it. And so there was so McPherson was like really clued in. You know, he wasn't there in a demonstrative way. It was very much like the thinking man's baseball. Hertz was watching out of the corner of his eye, but
he's an Astros fan.
He was actually asked that, and he kind of looked over to the team PR guy and was like, I don't know how to answer this question. Sirianni brought it up in his press conference. The Eagles, one of the Eagles executives, their PR executive, said if anyone has score updates, shout it out like during the press conference. There were a lot of people tuned into it.
It's a crazy night. This never happened before.
Well, that's not true. It happened in 2009.
No, it didn't happen in 2009. That game was at 1 o'clock and 8 o'clock. They were not concurrent games.
They were the same day, though. Yeah, they were the same day.
Okay. That's the crazy thing. The game's going on at the exact same time in prime time.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough. And it's the two markets. They were showing it on this. They were showing highlights on the screen at the stadium. Mm. My flight down was full of Eagles and Phillies fans. I was flying down during the game, and I was watching the game on my iPad. And it was one of those like communal airplane experiences where, you could see the guy next to you. He was like looking at my screen, but he didn't want to say anything. And so then like I
You're a share. Yeah.
So I put the screen up, and you know, so we can watch it together. But
that's nice.
But then in between innings, I would pull the iPad down, because I was like sending you texts. Yeah. And it's one of those things on the iPad.
I wish I would have known. I would have sent you like lewd links.
Well, no, it's kind of embarrassing because like I'm. No, please don't do that. I'm on all these text threads, and
Flex.
I think most people are on text threads, and one of them is with my baseball team from high school, okay, or a handful of people from my baseball team in high school, and
making fun of Matt Ryan for getting benched.
No, but. It keeps on popping onto the screen. So, like, I'm really self-conscious at this point
that
this person next to me who doesn't know me is going to see, like, what all these, you know, crazed Phillies fans are texting me during the game.
Hmm. Yeah. I see somebody in the chat. Joshua says, Bo's mad that someone didn't say hi to him at New Wave, but he doesn't even greet his neighbor wearing the Athletic sweater. I think this is our guy. Do you remember we talked about, do I say hi to the guy? There was like the thing in the park and he was wearing the athletic Philly shirt. Yes. I was like, do I say hi? And I didn't. I think this is him.
Sam? Oh, hello.
So hi, Joshua. Let's say hi next time.
So that was the scene. Yeah, so that was the scene inside the locker room at the stadium. I gotta say, I was walking around Houston today, and I know it was a road game, but there wasn't much of like a big, huge Astros buzz going on in Houston today. Now, Houston's sprawled out, and there's different parts of the city.
Urban sprawl.
And so this was a funny moment. I went to. Jalen Hurts' high school before the game. And I was, you know, I was interviewing people from the Channel View community to kind of see like what Hurts means to that community and some Hurts memories.
Never mind. He's just referring to that. Yeah. I see. Okay.
And one of the people, you know, I introduced myself. I am a reporter from Philadelphia, from The Athletic. And I think she initially thought that I was there for the World Series. And so she was like, she was really cold to me. And then when I said, I'm here about Jalen Hurts, she like warmed up and then she was willing to talk. But she said, no, I thought you were going to ask me about the World Series, which, it's good. I clarified. It would also be a really dogged reporter.
Right. Why would you show up
at Jalen Hurts at a ceremony honoring Jalen Hurts and badgering them with Astros questions.
Yeah.
That,
what did they know?
but now there were a lot of Astros jerseys around town today. So I'll give them credit there, but it wasn't like this huge buzz.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the offensive performance, because it was interesting, right? Like it seemed like they could run the ball at will in this game, but yet they were still efforting to pass quite a bit in neutral situations, which I think is totally fine. Jalen Hurts, very efficient in this game, Zach. 21 of 27 for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have that lost fumble on the sack. Which you mentioned, Dallas Goedert, very efficient himself, 8 for 100 and a touchdown on 9 targets. A.J. Brown, 4 for 59 and a touchdown. Devontae Smith, just 2 for 25. Quez Watkins, 2 for 25. Miles Sanders had 17 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown. Did you think that this was like a Jalen Hurts had a little extra juice being in Houston type game, or did he just sort of look like normal Jalen Hurts to you?
He looked like normal Jalen Hurts, and I think it's a good sign for the Eagles that the efficient passing is becoming the norm now. It's not the exception. Like, I didn't find this to be an exceptional Jalen Hurts game, and then you look at the numbers at the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, wait a second. I thought it felt like he sure had more than six incompletions, but he didn't.
Yes, yes. And it was actually funny on the opening drive.
I feel like both last 2 weeks, he's like looked a little bit off in the very like first drive or two, right? Like just miscalibrating throws. And then he settles in. I don't know. Tell me what you were about
to say. I was going to say on the opening drive, there were two targets that Jack stole on on about the first six plays or so. Yeah. And it was just funny. It's not what you imagine on the opening script. It's like, let's find ways to get Jack
Let's do our best stuff on the third. We got a short week. Let's stick with our best. Yeah.
Let's get Jack stole the ball. No, there were so many dynamic plays last week, and you didn't see those dynamic plays this week. And that's what jumped out to me, is this was a very workmanlike offense. I thought they ran the ball well. I thought Miles Sanders had a good game. He had some tough
plays. I thought he had a good game.
Which, frankly, he should. This is a really bad run defense. Like, that's one where you look at it and you say they did what they were expected to do. And I was surprised that Swooper didn't hit, because even though Damian Pierce had 25 carries, this is a game that Miles Sanders, they could have given him the ball quite a bit. He was running effectively.
Were you surprised that they didn't just pound it the whole time?
I was. I thought going into it, that was going to be their game plan. Now, like you said, the Texans are a bad team, and they could challenge the Texans different ways, and they were trying to pass the ball. But I thought they had success running the ball. They could have done that. It seemed that there was this time of possession battle in the.
Oh, you've been muted.
This should be better. My mic's on.
Oh yeah, you got it.
So on that opening, or in the first half, rather. So the Eagles have one possession in the first quarter, and then really two possessions in the second quarter. They didn't get the ball until 37 seconds. They actually put themselves in position for field goal, but they essentially had three possessions in the first half. So there wasn't much of a rhythm going on in the first half of the game. And there was this weird, I was talking to some guys in the locker room after the game about the first half, and they kept mentioning like the time of possession battle, which struck me as an odd thing to focus on when you're playing the Texans. Just run them off the field.
Right.
You know, you're not. It's not like you're trying to keep Damian Pierce off the field. But perhaps I don't think they wanted to get into details with me about it. But my guess is after the way the Texans started the game with that 9-play 75-yard drive, my guess is the Eagles wanted to give their defense a breather, right? So perhaps it was intentional to go on. I mean, you're not expecting to go on an 18-play drive, but to really take some time off the clock, get your defense in a better spot. That might be what they referred to with the time of possession.
Interesting.
Okay. And then you look. After that opening drive, really, you know, we're talking about the way Houston ran the ball. You're talking about two drives. You're talking about the first drive of the game and the last drive of the second half. I mean, in between, then you're looking at a 5-play 23-yard drive, 4-play 9 drive. I'm sorry, 4-play 9-yard drive, and the start the second half, 3 and out, 3 plays and interception. Okay, then they had a nice drive to set up a field goal. 6 plays for 9 yards, 9 plays for 38 yards.
There were three drives.
Yeah, it wasn't like throughout the game. There was one point, too. I'll give credit where it's due. I was pretty critical this summer about any time you drop Hassan Reddick into coverage.
Yeah,
is a negative. And Hassan Reddick had a terrific pass breakup. Like, really good on the ball, read it. He got his hand on it. And actually, if he didn't break that up, the Eagles don't get an interception. I think a play later, two plays later.
I think that's right.
They have to look up my notes. So I joked on social media, on Twitter, that I'm too far away from the sideline to see if Jonathan Gannon's like peering up at the press box with vengeance, because as if. Okay, the fake laugh, I get it.
You said you joked. I wanted to give you I wanted to sell your joke.
Yeah, it's still I would still send Reddick around the edge. I thought Brandon Graham had a real, I'm sorry, I'm just like dumping stuff onto.
It's 3 a.m. Do whatever you want to do.
Brandon Graham had a real good pass rush that led to an interception. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I can't tell if he's just a ball hawk or if the ball just comes to him, but it seems every time there's pressure, the quarterback throws it right to him.
Yeah, like the Eagles have had safeties in the past who like have just not been able to make those plays. So it's nice that he's making those plays, but it does oftentimes feel like it is the result of somebody else doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a nice play though. Your boy Bradberry got another one.
Bradberry's a good player.
You invented the guy. You take the credit.
Trust me, Bradberry was well established before he got here. I had the audacity to point out that he had a good training camp.
Well, you're right. Dallas Goedert dominant in this game, right? Yes. I know some of it was on screens, but
still, this was a big point after the game. Sirianni went on something about how he's one of the best tight ends in the league. And they were talking about that in the locker room. The thing that jumps out to me about him is the target efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. I think you said the stat earlier, eight catches on 9 targets. And if you just look at the numbers throughout the season, there's not a lot of empty targets thrown his way. He's really efficient. They're getting him more involved in third downs. He's such a tough matchup. He's a really good player.
I noticed him putting his hands up for the touchdown sign while the ball was in the air on the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown. Always like that.
That's the Steph Curry.
Hello. Fantastic. Why was Kayvon Wallace in the game so much at the end?
Well, no, he was on the opening drive. On the touchdown drive to start the game, he was on, and I thought it was like a goal line package that he was on for. I have to go back and watch to see what the pattern was. But yes, you did see Kayvon Wallace. And I mean, Kayvon Wallace is you were talking about them adding a safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a position that you can't really afford injuries. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
There is one other thing to talk about, Zach. This video from before the game.
Of Howie
going after a fan. Angrily.
Well, so seeing Howie's face during it, It seemed like it was a joking manner. That said,
so if you haven't seen it, there's a fan who's holding a sign that says like, "Howie, you're forgiven because you got AJ Brown," or something like that. And Howie walks over, and you can tell that he's like, he sees the sign and he's like making his way over. He's like, I'm so mad. I'm gonna say something about this. And he walks over and he says, like, oh, I'm forgiven. I've forgotten you your first effing Super Bowl. Like, and then he tries to play it off like a joke.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was a joke. I think those are his real internal feelings. But go ahead. What you were going to say.
Yeah. What you just said is that it did seem it was playful. I mean, not in the same way, but comparable to Verlander. Like, if you saw that video, you can't hold that against Verlander the other day. He was having fun with the fans, right?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, he gave the fans the finger as he was getting off the bus the other day.
Oh yeah, that's
fine. And it was billed as Verlander, you know, flipping off the Eagles fans. Mm. I'm sorry, the Phillies fans. And Verlander said he was just greeting them in their native tongue. He was having fun with the people.
That's a good line.
They were giving it to him, and that's kind of the way I saw it with Howie. He was smiling, he was laughing, but to your point, he had that on the tip of his tongue. And
yeah,
it's a sentiment that he has expressed before too. I think he was on a radio interview earlier this year when he was talking about going to a Sixers game during the playoffs, and someone said something to him of similar ilk, and his response was, so the Super Bowl wasn't enough, right? And look, it is a good trump card to play. I'll grant him that. It's not the end all be all, but is it Fritz Arrow who said, you know, win tonight and, you know, walk together forever or something like that? Or point being that when you win a Super Bowl, you have that on your resume.
Flags fly forever.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
But it's also a little bit like, I mean, what are we doing, Howie? Like, calm down.
Yeah.
You're not the most persecuted person in the world. We don't need to be complaining about GM salaries on podcasts.
Well, that's him doing that. That's
I know, but I mean, this idea that it's like, what a tough break he's getting. I mean, come on, it's fine. Yeah, it's part of the job.
Yeah. Look,
and he should be taking victory laps right now. That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. The thing I'll say about Howie is he gets kicked by, you know, he gets it when they're losing. Like, he's definitely in the bullseye when things aren't going well. Maybe not internally, but certainly externally, right? That when they are winning, if he wants to take the victory laps, he's certainly entitled.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. He just didn't need to be so aggressive about it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Zach? How was Channelview?
Wait, so Hargrave, I mean, you...
Yeah, we should give some love. Yeah. Three sacks. He was a beast.
So a few things here, or I shouldn't say a few things, two things. Kirk Herbstreit had a line during the broadcast, as you know, I listened to the...
Yeah, how was it, Brian? I didn't hear a single second of it.
It was... I like that team. I know some of the chat people thought it was on brand that I liked Herbstreit. I mean, he's still adjusting to the NFL. I love the Amazon broadcast. And actually, more credit to Amazon for this. I've never watched it on my computer. I'm always, because Thursday nights I'm home and I'm watching it on television. I'm streaming it. And I got to see if you can do this on the TV, but they have something called like X-ray, or where it has the stat panel and it has all the next gen stats and it updates live. Yards after contact live and time to throw live. That's cool. A pretty cool feature. But Herbstreit said at one point about Hargrave that Jonathan Gannon told him he's a good he's someone who needs to practice, and he didn't really start practicing until 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I'm like, wait, what? He wasn't on the injury report. But then I was talking to Hargrave after the game, and I jokingly said to him, like, what happened during the bye week? You know, you come back, you have 5 sacks in these 2 games since. And he said he had a chance to get healthy. And I said, what do you mean? He said, that toe injury was lingering from training camp, and like he never really kind of felt right, and so he had a chance to get healthy. I assume be off his feet, and he's been now sacks. We know are partly opportunistic, right? It's not as if he's a different player now than he was before the bye week, but he's cleaning up here, and he wasn't productive enough in those first six games. You're seeing that now. He's up to six sacks. His career high last year was 7.5. So he should be in line to break that.
And that's also part, like, that's why you don't want to have to make him play the nose, right? You want to free him up to
sure
be on the outside of those three-man fronts and get after the passer if it's a passing play. So, yeah. All right. Anything else?
If you can fill the time for 30 seconds, I just need to respond to Josiah, to our editor
real quick. Sure. Let's see. Let's run down the rest of the defensive stat line. Javon, his 7 tackles, 3 sacks. TJ Edwards, 7 tackles. Kaiser White, 7 tackles. Marcus Epps, 5. Josh Sweat, 5. Bradbury, 4. Slay, 4. Cox, 4. Marvin, well, how do you feel like Big Marv played, Zach, whenever you're back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with you now. Really didn't have a strong opinion. I mean, circumstantially, I would say not very good because they were running the ball effectively and the job when you fill that role there as the nose in those fronts is like to help stop the run, right? But that's one of those where I need to go back and look to really give you a good answer.
Who is the second most impressive Texan to you?
Second most impressive Houston Texan to me. I mean, Hughes.
We can talk about that. Jerry Hughes was a monster in this game.
He beat Jordan Mailata, and I had a chance to.
And he should have beat. It should have been Lane's first sack, right? He basically gave up a sack to Jerry Hughes, but then Jalen Hurts got away from it.
Yeah. So speaking to, I had a chance to talk to Jordan. I'll try to write more about this week, but he's very honest and he really took it hard. In his own way, he said he never wants to let guys like Landon down, and he said that as Landon was sitting right next to him, and he said that it was just a timing thing on those sacks, or I shouldn't say timing, just kind of knowing where Jalen is on the field. I guess we didn't get into too many details about that, but he was very much like he brought it up to me when talking about the game, the way he started the second half. And I said, yeah, about those, let's talk about that. But he was very much he wore those.
Jeff Schwartz and Mitchell Schwartz said it looked like on the first sack that he maybe thought that it was a draw.
I asked him that.
Oh, did you?
Specifically. Okay. Yeah. I asked him specifically, were you expecting draw? And he said, draw? No, he said, I just need to know where Jalen is on the field. So maybe it's one of those things where he thought that he could let he thought it was going to be a quick drop and he could let the pass rusher get some depth, but Jalen was deeper in the drop. I don't have a firm answer for that, but he did say to me, he didn't think it was a draw.
Okay. And then what were your thoughts on taking Kitoriano?
I didn't have strong opinions. He caught the touchdown, right? Or
yeah. Heck of a player.
Yeah, he did. Yes. That's why it came to mind. I remember writing it down. I don't have a strong opinion on him, honestly. This press box, so
yeah. Okay, go ahead.
2014, did you travel to
Houston?
Okay.
But I don't remember it. I remember it was the game where Foles got hurt and Sanchez came in, but I don't remember the press box.
It is high up there. It's one of those high press boxes.
That does ring a bell, actually.
And high press boxes are hard. You never want the Washington situation where you're behind the end zone and you can't see a part of the field. But also, if you're really high up, and I have binoculars, but you can't make out sometimes what's specifically going on. So when I watch the game back, I will have more insight there. You get to see the plays develop. Like, you can definitely see the moment a guy's open downfield. That's the advantage of being so high up. But especially line play, you can't really see that effectively up.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. How do you plan to spend the rest of your time in Houston?
On a Nick Sirianni conference call tomorrow morning. Well, tonight I'll go to sleep. I'm going to be writing. We have a Nick Sirianni conference call tomorrow morning. I have to write my picks column. I am debating putting some thoughts together if time allows, but I had to get to the airport and catch a flight. The one thing I've learned about Houston is things are really spread out here, like really spread out.
Yeah.
And people are always driving. It took me from Channelview High School to NRG Stadium. I thought I see you guys are yawning, so I'll be quick here. I thought it was going to take me 45 minutes. It took me 75 minutes. That was tough. But even still,
you must have been pretty upset, pretty frustrated.
Yes, I was very much so. And not just that, but I mean, credit to the other Eagles reporters. You know, we're like a family during the season. We see each other oftentimes more than our families. And I think there were a few guys who were legitimately worried about me.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause, I wasn't there and I'm typically there. And so they were, I was getting texts like, is everything okay? Where are you? So
who was most concerned? I mean, EJ?
EJ texted me, Elliot texted me. Yeah. So it was nice.
Okay.
But overall, I like being in Houston. Frankly, I wish there was a Phillies game tomorrow. I would stay an extra day here because I don't get to Houston enough. I went to a really good food hall today. I like a food hall because you have different, you know, you have different stations you could go to, if you will.
Sure. What'd you get?
I got Peruvian food.
Nice.
This is this is as close as I'm getting to South America this year. It's as close as I'm getting to Peru.
What'd you get?
Had like a ceviche dish.
Nice.
And had some plantains on the side.
Okay. And was this on a campus?
This was not on a campus. No, I have a good friend who I worked at the radio station in Syracuse with, and he does some radio down here. And we got together for lunch, caught up.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Marissa, what's up with you?
Not much. Enjoying hearing your guys' takeaways. A little tired, but hanging
in
there.
I'm sorry, Marissa.
Zach, are you kidding? Back
home. I think it's time to pull the plug.
Yeah.
No, don't end this because of me. I enjoy the late night pods.
I still got to finish writing.
Okay. So we'll blame you, but no, I like you guys like was surprised that it was close, but I also think, you know, a Thursday game, quick turnaround. They still won the game. Got to give them some credit for that. They're 8-0. So yeah, it wasn't what we thought it would be, but that was kind of my thoughts. So,
thank you, Marissa. Because I see in the chat, I'm getting accused of like homerism here, which I certainly, I think I would come off crotchety if I was like, they won by 12 points, but they're in trouble, right?
I think we all just thought there was a middle ground there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I definitely thought like going into it was going to be like such a blowout. Like
me too. Yes, I thought 35-10. Yeah.
Yes. That was surprising. But I mean, you know, a short week. We've seen some crazy games on Thursday night football this year. And some kind of honestly bad football on Thursday night football. So, you know, they went on the road, they got the win, they're 8-0.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all you can ask for at this point.
Well said.
Better said than we could have, yeah.
And now they have extended rest for Washington next week.
Yes. That's a long extended rest because they got a Monday game. So, yes.
But it sounds like Sirianni's going to bring them in on Monday. This Monday coming up. Curious about that.
Mm.
But then they might have – so Michael had a Monday game this week, and they had Tuesday, and then Wednesday they had, like, a very, very short day.
Okay.
Almost had, like, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, he was on early afternoon on Wednesday.
Sure.
So maybe that's something like that. But they didn't have a Thursday game before, so
yeah.
I don't know. A lot of time to prepare for Taylor Heinicke.
There you go. There you go.
All right. I guess that'll do it. We'll be back, I don't know, Tuesday-ish, maybe Wednesday, since it's a Monday game. Until then, enjoy. One or two games left for the World Series this weekend. I'm sure Zach's got a bike ride coming up or something.
Big college football game this weekend, Tennessee-Georgia, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Number one versus number two.
People are really talking about Hendon Hooker as a first-round pick.
If you're not an ageist, I mean, and you just look at it from a performance perspective, he's been awesome.
Okay. Awesome. I mean,
watch him this weekend.
I watched him beat Alabama. He looked great.
But, and Jalen Hyatt. Yeah. That's the
yes. He
yeah. Now that fly. Guy rules.
Yeah. 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 He's Dane had his top 50 out this week. We actually have a podcast on it. So if you want to hear about those, top,
where podcasts. Did he have Hendon Hooker?
Let me pull it up because I don't remember exactly. Or maybe I could just tease it and people can go.
Good call.
Check it
yeah,
out.
Check that out.
That's good.
But yeah, no, they talked a lot about the quarterbacks. Will Levis also, you know, he's also an older guy. And then obviously CJ.
But Hendon Hooker is really old.
Yeah.
He's not just old, he's really old. It's going to be 26.
I got it up here. Okay, so do you want to take a guess where he has him in the top 50? Why are we playing a guessing game at 3:30 in the morning? But why not? Where do you think he has him in the top 50?
46.
Zach?
For game theory, I'll go 45.
I can't believe this, but he has him at 46. Did you cheat, Bo?
No!
Yeah.
No way!
Yes, he does. I'm like, Bo definitely has this up right now. Yes, he does. He has him at 46. Wow. Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
He's not buying it too much. That's fine.
Yep.
I mean, I'd have him lower, but I'm glad. Good for Dane. 46. I nailed it. Wow.
And he's got Levis at 23. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting. How many teams are going after quarterbacks, because there could be a decent amount when you take a look across the league. So, we'll see.
You're right. But
yeah, follow Dane because he's the best and knows everything. So
that's right.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Eagles are 8-0. First time in franchise history. 29-17. They take the dub on Thursday night. Zach was there to see it all. And I don't know. That's about it. I was going to say something about seeing it all, but you know. We'll keep it PG.
Peace.
So, you're welcome. So, for Zach and Marissa and Tegan, I'm Bo. We thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week. And as always, we love you.